you remember last week's gospel and sermon, Jesus had brought his apostles to the seat of pagan worship in northern Israel, Caesarea Philippi. And it was here that Jesus asked them, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Oh, after they gave him a list of who people were saying that he was, Jesus then put the most important question to them. And he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Those words are from Matthew 16, 15 and 16. The statement of faith that Peter made when he announced Jesus to be the Messiah, the Christ, the Son of the living God, would be the rock, the foundation of truth that would be the basis, the foundation of the church, a faith that endures. Saying Jesus is a great teacher, or oh, Jesus was a prophet, a preacher and a healer, or Jesus is just one of many ways to heaven, but not the only way, or that anyone else is the way, the truth, and the life, destroys and weakens that foundation to the point of collapse and rubble. I must confess, it's unnerving and it is very unsettling when those statements come from within the Christian community. It dilutes and waters down the faith. It's deceitful and it's false. And I must say, it's straight from the father of lies. So much happened following that proclamation by Peter, and Jesus had to give them a warning not to tell anyone about him being the Christ. Jesus plainly tells the apostles that they're going to be witnesses to him, enduring a great deal of suffering at the hands of the religious leaders in Jerusalem, which will result in his death. Consider, if you will, how much must have been swirling around in their heads. They're at this evil place, and they've been asked two very important questions by Jesus. And then he drops the bombshell, the bad news, right upon them about what's going to happen in Jerusalem. At the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, the same Peter who answered Jesus' question begins to rebuke Jesus by saying, "Never, Lord," he said, "this shall never happen to you." When Jesus responded to Peter, calling him the Christ, the Son of the living God, he complimented Peter for being and hearing the words of God the Father, giving the truth. But when Peter said, "Never, Lord," he tells Peter that those words are not inspired by God, but were evil, because Satan does not want Jesus to fulfill what he came to do, and that is to suffer and to die for the redemption of mankind. Jesus emphatically tells Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." If Jesus were not to die in accordance with the Father's plan, then Satan would have won the victory, and we would not be singing our ending hymn today, which is "Victory in Jesus." Instead, it would be something else, and I dare say that we wouldn't even be meeting here today. Satan would win the victory in the battle for the human soul, and Peter was voicing not his opinion, but Satan's opinion. Peter understood who Jesus was, but he failed to grasp the nature of his mission, thinking that since Jesus was the Messiah, that he had come to establish an earthly kingdom and to overthrow the Roman government. That was a pretty big thought back in those days. Peter was right about who Jesus was, but he was wrong about why he had come. As Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block to me, and you do not have in mind the things of God, but the things of men." He was trying to snap Peter back to the reality of Jesus' mission. Peter was trying to redefine who Jesus was and to make him fit his own expectations. He wanted to see a king in his kingdom and not death, because that would seem like apparent defeat. Redefining Jesus is not the work of God, but the work of Satan, and not understanding our leader or our enemy. In our human frailty, we forget that God thinks differently than we do. God himself spoke through the prophet Isaiah, reminding the world, listen to these words, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." That's Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. How often is it that Jesus himself speaks about how things with God are different? He said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 16, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." We try to judge when it's not within our right or our power. The Apostle Paul says, we only get part of reality of God. When he wrote to the people of Corinth, "Now we see but a poor reflection as in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as I am fully known." 1 Corinthians 13:12. Jesus warns his apostles that in order to follow him, it will cost them everything. There are no half measures on this journey with him. It's going to be like learning to swim. Anybody here swim? I know we have a champion swimmer over here. We have quite a few champion swimmers in this parish. And if you remember, we had Hollis here last week and talked about his swimming and his escapades. And we have quite a few champions in other sports in this parish. We're very blessed with that. But let's talk about swimming. If you keep your foot on the bottom of the pool, you're never going to work out how to swim. You have to lose your life to find it. What's the use of keeping your feet on the bottom when the water gets too deep? You have the choice: swim or drown, kick or not. Apparent safety, walking on the bottom, is not an option. You either swim or you drown. How confusing it must have been for the apostles to hear Jesus speaking about taking up a cross. That hadn't even entered into the conversation or the relationship as of yet. But now Jesus said to them, "If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." The cross was the most denigrating way for a person to die. The Romans used it to put people to death all the time. They would line them up on the street side so that people could come by, look at them as they were dying, and tell them how disgusting and how horrible it was. And Jesus is talking about taking up a cross. It must have been very confusing. Jesus, as the Son of God, is telling his apostles and us that, like the Beatitudes, God's expectations are much higher than ours. In order to follow Jesus, we have to learn to think inside out, as in looking glass fashion. What the world counts as great is foolishness, and what the world counts as folly is true wisdom. This is a personal question. You don't have to answer this out loud. Have you ever taken a selfie with your phone? I know there's a bunch of people here that have at time or another. And it doesn't look quite right. When you look at it, your hair is parted on the wrong side, or the letters on your blouse or your shirt are reversed. The image is not what we expect. Well, it's the same thing in the kingdom of God. Cling on to your life and you will lose it. Give everything you've got to follow Jesus, including life itself, and you will win it. We, as real followers of Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, need to take him as his word and believe. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.